Hi there, and welcome to Church of Philadelphia's podcast. We're a church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Psalm chapter number 40, verse number 1. Here begins the reading of our holy God's word. It said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us were. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of our living God. Amen. And as we're pressing on through with our current sermon series, we've been talking about watching God be God, watching God be God. Amen. And as we keep letting you know and understand, this came from a foundational place of worship. You know, I was in worship and, you know, the Lord began to speak to me what he was going to do, who he was going to be. And so it gave me an opportunity to watch God be God. After God spoke something, God then wanted to prove or honor what he said, thereby revealing himself, manifesting himself based upon what he's spoken or based upon what he had shown or declared he said he was going to do. And so I, in turn, just would allow God to be God. And in me allowing God to be God, it gave me the opportunity to watch God be God. And so I appreciate God giving us this opportunity for us as people, us as a body, or the body of Christ as a whole, to sit back and watch God be God. For the things that we prayed about, you know, there are things and requests and prayer requests that we've laid before God and brought before God. There are people that we have been praying about. There are situations or circumstances that we've been praying about. So whether it's a situation, whether it's a circumstance, whether it's someone that you've been praying for or something that you've been asking God to do in your personal life, listen, whatever it is, whomever it is, we're going to watch God be God in the midst of it. Amen. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about watching God be God. And so the title on today that we're going to be working with on today is simply Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Elohim, which is interpreted the eternal creator, the eternal creator. Amen. And so we're here in the book of Psalms. And again, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, David, has written this particular psalm, right? And what we understand about the book of Psalms, I like the book of Psalms because it allows us, you know, to put on display all of our emotions. And that's what you see in the book of Psalms. Typically, when we go to the book of Psalms, you know, it's because we're feeling some type of way, whether it's down, depressed, sad, heavy, whatever the case may be. We most oftentimes go to the book of Psalms to get a pick-me-up, to jolt ourselves in our spirit, man, so that we can feel excited about, you know, whatever it is we are getting ready to face, or so we can feel excited about what it is that we're currently going through. But what I appreciate about the book of Psalms, in particular with someone like a David, right? It shows us David put on an array of his emotions, and he talked about all kind of things in the book of Psalms. And so God gave him space and grace and a room to be who he was and to express what he really wanted to express. And so I appreciate God stepping back and just giving David that space and giving David that grace to express how and what he really felt. You know, we tend to say, no, tell it like it, T.I. is. Tell me the truth, the whole truth. Tell me the whole truth. A lot of times we say, well, you can't handle the truth, or you're not ready for the truth. Well, listen, when you're going to speak and release the truth to God, listen, I don't care what truth you got to tell God. It's not going to catch God by surprise. It's not going to be a truth that's going to make him clutch his pearls. It's not going to be a truth that's going to make him fall off of his throne and stop being God. Listen, I don't care what truth you tell God. You can bring it to. Matter of fact, he welcomes your truth. So I encourage you, bring your truth. And as we're talking about this, David would express all kinds of truth. I'm talking about truths about God. I want you to grind my enemies into dust so that they're no longer in the earth realm. Now you talk about that. That just seems to be a cruel thought, right? But then again, you know somebody, can you relate? Well, you've been there where you had somebody coming against you, a perpetual enemy coming against you, and it made you feel some type of way. And you're just like, hey, listen, now I'm tired of dealing with this. And if this is the only way, God, that this is going to stop, then God, grind them to dust, God, so I don't have to deal with them anymore, right? So I can understand that, even though at sometimes I think it's pretty harsh or pretty cruel, but I can understand that. You understand? But I like how God gave him that space and that grace to just come on, tell me the truth, express it. Because listen, whether you verbally speak it or not, I hear the heart. I know what's in the heart. I'm the one that searches your heart. So I know what's there, even though you've never spoken it, but I would rather you speak it. You understand? And most of us, because we feel it, you know, we say, well, hey, well, I'm not going to speak it. Well, you got to understand he knows your heart. And we put ourselves in a position where I'm not going to speak because I don't want to be in error if I speak it. Well, you're already in error for feeling it. But you're already in error for thinking it, right? Because it had to originate as a thought. And when you didn't deal with it as a thought, it ended into your heart. It became a real live emotion. So understand, he knows what's there. He's the searcher of the heart. So go ahead and tell him the truth. He wants to hear the truth. He welcomes it. He welcomes it. So I encourage you, be honest. Be completely honest with God. Those things that you struggle with telling another individual, tell it to God. Be honest with God, right? So this is why I appreciate the book of Psalms. It helps us deal with situations, all type of situations that will cause or arouse all type of emotions on the inside of us, right? And so we find ourselves here, the book of Psalms, chapter number 40, and David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry, right? In the Hebrew, when he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, he says, I waited, right? This in the Hebrew is talking about in waiting, I waited. In waiting, I waited. Or simply, I waited and waited. And this is where most of us, it gets tricky for most of us because you felt like, well, I've already waited a month. No. But the patiently waited is why I'm in waiting, I'm still waiting. Or I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And while I'm still waiting, guess what? I still got to praise. While I'm still waiting, I haven't lost my faith. Neither has my trust gone down because I know who God is. And I understand that he cannot speak a word to me that's going to form into a lie. He cannot lie. It goes against his very nature. So it becomes easier to wait and to wait some more and to wait just a little bit more and to wait another year if I have to and to wait 5 more days if I have to, because when he gives it to me, I want it to be right. I don't want to squander it. I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to think I'm prepared for it and then find myself not actually being prepared for it. I want to have a mature mindset that whatever God places in my hand, I am going to be effective with it. I want to make sure that it brings the honor and the glory to God. I want to make sure that whatever God places in my hand, it is advancing the kingdom of God. You understand what I'm saying? So for most of us, we have a problem right here when you simply have to wait. Waiting becomes a distraction for most of us. It's while you wait. And see, this is the thing. In you waiting, you understand nothing seems to be happening. And if the slightest movement or the faintest sound will bring a distraction about yourself, you know somebody can you relate. Remember when you used to be testing in school? Think about the test that you would have to take in school. And everybody had to be quiet. And the teacher would be walking around the classroom, making sure nobody was looking off nobody else's paper. Making sure nobody was talking and whispering and passing answers. And it was quiet. But as soon as you saw something in your peripheral, it brought your attention from the test upward and you would begin to look. Or if you heard a pencil fall on the floor, the faintest sound would capture your attention and you begin to. But it was in you waiting while you was taking the test that these faint sounds or these slight distractions captured your attention. And see, for most of us, this is where we struggle. It's in this waiting process. It's in this waiting period that things tend to capture our attention, distract us, cause us to become unfocused, take our eyes off of God, cause our heart not to be fixed upon God anymore. And this is why waiting seems to be so difficult for us, because you don't realize it's something faint has captured your attention. Rather than keeping your eyes fixed upon God or keeping your heart fixed upon God, you allow something else to capture your attention. Distracted. That's all it is. You're distracted. I know you don't want to say that about yourself, but the truth of the matter is most of us are distracted in the waiting process. And because we've been distracted in the waiting process, we can't even tell how much time has actually gone by. You understand? So David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. In waiting, I waited, and I waited, and I waited, right? He says, and I waited patiently for the Lord, right? And this is what you got to understand. If you know the word waited and the word patiently have the same Hebraic meaning. Waiting, right? So to wait, he's describing it waiting, patient. So hence the term, in waiting, I waited. Or I waited and I waited. Same Hebraic understanding or definition, waiting and patiently. So he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. This word inclined in the Hebrew is simply talking about God stretched out towards me. Do you know somebody? Can you believe? Well, you need God to stretch himself out towards you. And not only does it mean to stretch out towards you, but it means to bend down towards you, to bend in your direction. You got to understand, see what's taking place. God is posturing himself to make sure that he hears what it is that you got to say. He's posturing himself to make sure that he's giving you his undivided attention, to let you know that, listen, I'm leaning in. I'm getting closer. For those of you who have to whisper what it is that you wish, I'm getting closer, that, listen, that I would not misinterpret the thing that you're asking or speaking about. I'm bending toward or bending down towards you so that I can hear accurately the thing that you desire to express to me. The thing that you are crying about, the thing that you're offering up prayers about, the thing that's troubling you. Listen, I want to get closer that I can hear you. So he's inclining himself. He's posturing himself to make sure that he hears you. And then the Bible says what? He inclined unto me and he heard my cry. Heard in the Hebrew was talking about, this is the word Shema, right? Remember in the book of Deuteronomy, right? The Shema is talking about for the people of God. You know, when God is speaking the word, the Shema in regards to the people is saying, okay, God, before you ever speak a word, God, my mind is already made up, God. Before I hear the instruction, my mind is made up. Before the instruction comes, I'm going to obey it. Before I even know what the instruction is, I'm going to obey it. Now, when you talk about the Shema in regards to God, he said, listen, for God, he's saying, he inclined unto me and he heard my cry. The Shema in regards to God is talking about what? To hear with attention or interest. He's interested in what you got to say. And he's giving you his undivided attention because he's interested in what you got to say. It's nothing like having a conversation with somebody else and you're talking to somebody that has divided attention, right? That thing will cause you to become frustrated because you figure, listen, when it's my time to sit and talk to you, right? And I made myself get quiet to hear everything you said. I'm giving you my undivided attention because I want to pay attention to the things that you're speaking to me. I want to make sure that I'm hearing you correctly so I don't make any mistakes about the things that you're speaking unto me, right? But when it becomes their turn to hear you now, you know, they all in their phone, they keep looking off to the left, looking off to the right, looking up, looking down, playing with their fingers and all kinds of stuff. In other words, they're not giving you their undivided attention. It can be very frustrating to be talking to an individual when they're not giving you their undivided attention. You walk away feeling like, was I really even heard? Did you even really understand what it was that I was asking, what I was actually saying to you? Can you even relate to what it is that I was trying to express to you? So it's not enough to just comprehend me, understand it from a cognitive place, right? But I need to know after understanding it from a cognitive place, what about this heart place? Can you relate to what it is that I'm saying to you? Most people, you only from a cognitive place can understand what somebody's saying, but you can. It's rare when people can really relate to what you're saying. I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what it is that you're saying. And so God is positioning himself, posturing himself as he inclines toward the man of God to hear. I want to hear with attention. What you got to say has captured my attention. Because you're getting ready to speak, it has captured my attention. The mere fact that you told me you want to talk to me, it has captured my attention. Do you understand, based upon what it is that you got to tell God, if you really pay attention to yourself, see, I'm notorious for paying attention to myself, for examining myself, depending on what it is that I want to talk to God about, you got to understand will determine how I will come before him, right? When I really, 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 really need God, urgently need God to move, listen, I don't even have time for praise right now. It's Father in the name. It's in your name. It's in your name, Father. It's in your name. It's in your name, Father. I have to call him about 10 times. Father, 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 Father. It's in your name. Oh, it's in your name. But when I just want to go and just spend time with him, oh, see, I approach him very differently. It's oh, hallelujah. You are a good God. I bless your wonderful name, God. See, I set it up like that. I just want to exalt you, God. I just want to extol you, God. I just want to tell you that you are a good God. You are a great God. How excellent is your name in all the earth, God. Depending on what it is that I got to say to him is how I approach him. When it's urgent, I ain't got time to play around. Father, in the name of Jesus, and I begin to roll out my request or my supplication or my plea or my cry before him. I don't have time to play, God. I need you to be ready to hear me, God. I need you to be in the posture, because the Bible lets us know and understand that before we can even ask the need, he already knows what it is that we are in need of. So you already know what I'm getting ready to come and ask you about concerning this particular need, God. So because of his infinite wisdom, his all-knowing, listen, he's already posturing himself. Listen, I'm already in the inclined position. I'm just waiting on you. Come on, son. Come on, daughter, and release what it is that you want to say to me. Oh, that's what you got to understand. He's ready to hear your cry. You got my undivided attention. Even though I hear the 24 elders and the host of heaven around me, but I need you to know and understand you got my attention. I'm pressing in. I'm bending down towards you to hear what you got to say. Yeah, I hear them all over in Africa and South Asia, but I need you to know that I hear you. You have my attention as well. I bless his wonderful name, because I'm interested in what you got to say. I'm interested in you. It's not just that I'm interested in what you got to say, but I'm interested in you. I'm interested in you. When was the last time you had somebody truly interested in you? Not because of what you can do for them, but because of who you are. I'm interested in you because of who you are. Listen, if you never ever said another prayer, ask for another thing, I will still be interested in you. Ask God, because you're mine. You belong to me. Oh, it's something about you that I'm in amazement of you. It's something about, I just love everything about you. I love all the hairs that are upon your head, whether they gray or short or not, but I love them all. You got to understand, it's just something about you that I can't turn my eyes away from you. Listen, just something about you that you got my heartstrings in your head. You have the ability to pull on my heart and cause me to move. Yeah, it's just something about you. Do you know somebody, and can you relate? Yeah, it's something about you where you truly understand. It's something about you. Yeah, we used to oftentimes hear our apostles say, God, it's funny about this little black boy. Oh, I bless the name. Oh, God, remember him, remember him, remember him, remember him. Do you understand? God is funny about you, young woman. God is funny about you, young lady. God is funny about you, woman of God. God is funny about you, man of God, as well as you, young man. He's funny about you. He's interested in you. Listen, he said, listen, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Set my feet upon a rock, establish my going. The scripture says he brought me up first. Do you see the process? He brought me up, then he brought me out. But first he got to bring me up before he bring me out. And some of you are in the process of coming up before God actually brings you out. And when you talk about this coming up, right, it's all based upon your cry. your cry, because remember, he was interested in your cry, right? And remember, he said, I heard, or David said, he heard my cry, right? In the Hebrew, when you talk about this word cry, right, it is defined simply as a halu, right? A halu, right? Meaning it is a cry for help, one that is, I'm crying to free me from some type of trouble, God. I need you to free me from some type of trouble, God. This is why I'm crying, God. And I'm so glad that you're interested in my cry, God. I'm so glad, God, that you've inclined yourself towards my cry, God, because there is a trouble, God, that I need help with, God. There is a trouble, God, that requires your attention, God. You have got to get involved, God. You got to reveal yourself, make yourself known, God. You got to let this trouble know that you're about to trouble my trouble, God. I bless your wonderful name that you are about to trouble my trouble, God. See, you ought to give him praise right now, because God wants to trouble your trouble. If he would not want to do it, he would not have postured or positioned himself to give you his undivided attention to hear the trouble that you're crying about. I want to do something about your trouble. I want to do something about your trouble. You got to understand. Yes, he does. He wants to do something about your trouble. So he's bringing you up first, then he's bringing you out, right? And then this process of bringing you up is simply defined as moving toward a higher place. See, most of you, I know you get tired of dwelling on the bottom. You understand? You just trying to do a little bit better for yourself. I'm just trying to move on up, like the Jeffersons. I ain't necessarily got to go to the east side, God, but just take me off of this plane that I'm accustomed to being on, God. This level right here, God, I'm so sick of this level right here, God. Haven't I done enough, God, to actually be elevated to another level, God? Haven't I defeated enough devils on this level, God, to be processed to the next level, God? Haven't I gave enough, God, to be processed to a new level, God? Haven't I been a man or woman of integrity enough, God, to be processed to a new level, God? Come on, God, see and honor me, God, what I've done on this level, God. It's time, God, move me up, process me, God. So he said, moving toward a higher place, right? Or it's simply talking about being above a former position, right? He wants to take you and now let you be above your former position. So listen, you're going to know that you've been elevated when you're able to look down and see where he brought you. See, the old folks say, when I look back, right? There are times you get to look back, but then there are times you get to look down to see where he's brought you from. In this particular manner, he wants you to look down and see where he's brought you from. So like the old folks say, you can say, when I look down and see where he's brought me from, my soul cries hallelujah. And then I can couple that with, when I look back and see where he's brought me from, my soul cries out hallelujah. It's a greater praise, God. This is why the high praise of the Most High God can abide in my mouth, God, because not only do I look back, God, but I can also look down and see where you brought me from, God. And it's a good place that I'm abiding in now, God. I wish you would tell somebody what's happening in my life. It's the Lord's doing. It's the Lord's doing. It's not me. It's the Lord that's doing this thing on the inside of me. It's not me because of this favor and grace. It is the Lord that has poured this favor and this grace out upon my life. It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in his eyes. Yes, it is. Notice I said it's marvelous in his eye. God likes what he sees that's taking place at his hand on the inside of your life. Somebody ought to say, come on, work on me, God. And while you're working on me, God, work in me at the same time, God. So as you're working on me, God, and working in me, God, you, what you're doing, God, it is marvelous in your eyes, God. The work of the Lord, it is marvelous in your eyes, God. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So he's bringing me up. And then the Bible says he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. He's bringing me upward first, then he begins to bring me out, right? And the word out is simply defined as moving away from a place, moving away from a place, right? He had to bring me up, then bring me out to reposition me, reestablish me from a current position that I used to be in, right? I'm no longer where I used to be, right? I heard the psalmist say, I don't look like what I've been through. I wish that was true for somebody right here. When you think about all the things that you are going through up until this point right here, you got to understand what has now just happened. There was a shift that is taking place. He brought me up. Now the level that I'm on, I'm now looking down at where he has brought me from. But not only has he brought me up, he has brought me out, moved me totally away from the position that I used to be in, where I was currently at yesterday. I'm not there. When I woke up at, I'm not there anymore. You got to understand, he has just shifted me. He has just translated me. He has just moved me from An old place. You got to understand. He says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, right? And when you think about this horrible pit, that the understanding in the Hebrew is simply talking about, this is a pit of noise, right? It's denoting that there's water that's moving down at the bottom of this well or cistern or this particular cave, right? So it's a constant noise, right? And this is the thing that you got to understand, right? Not only is David having to deal with the darkness and the depth of the pit, but he also got to deal with the noise. And see, there's sometimes where you just want the noise to cease. You just want the noise to stop, right? But I'm not just dealing with the noise, but I'm dealing with this darkness and this blackness that's all around me. And you got to understand, the noise that's inside, housed inside of this darkness, right? It only intensifies the darkness. It only intensifies how deep of a place that I'm in, God. How much trouble I'm actually in, God. The noise, right? The noise seems to be drowning out my prayer, God. The noise seems to be louder than my praise, God. The noise seems to be louder than my worship, God. The noise seems to be louder than my meditating upon the word. It is here that I need help, God, because I can't even hear my own thoughts, God, because of the outside noise, God. But you got to understand, sometimes God allows that noise to actually be a distraction from yourself, because the darkness really that he's trying to get you to escape is the darkness on the inside. You don't even understand how you can be in such a low place and you begin to fight depression. You can be in such a low place and you're fighting heaviness and despair and hopelessness, thinking, God, would it ever happen? God, time is not on my side. Time is against me, God. I'm here in this dark, deep place, God, and it's nothing but a bunch of noise. I can hardly hear myself think right, God. I can't even collect my thoughts properly together, God. Will you help me, God? It's one of them moments where you can barely see your hand in front of your face. It's that dark, God, but it's so loud. I got to cover my ears sometimes just trying to keep the peace. It's so loud, God. Have you ever felt like you've been in a place like that when your situation or the circumstance was so loud? It was louder than your prayer request. It was louder than the strength you had. It was louder than the praise you were given. It was louder than the worship you had. It was louder than your submission. It was louder than your humility. It was louder than everything you felt you had to give to God in that moment. It seemed like this dark place was defeating me slowly. It was killing me softly. Back up out of here, Lauren. You got to understand. It seemed like this deep place was killing me softly. This loud place was killing me softly. I found myself wanting to give up. I found myself wanting to throw in the towel, because you got to understand, there's nobody in here that I can talk to. And if I keep talking to myself long enough about the situation, I feel like I'm about to lose my mind in all of this darkness, this loud, deep, dark place, God. If I keep talking to me, telling me to hold on, telling me, don't you give up, telling me God hears you, God is mindful of you, God is going to do it. Listen, they tell me insanity is doing the same thing, hoping that there is going to be a change. And the truth of the matter is, God, I've been in this dark, deep place a long time, God. I've been saying some of the same things a long time, God. And the truth is, if we really being honest, God, since this is the book of Psalms, God, and you give me the space and grace, God, to tell you the real truth, God, the truth of the matter is this right here, God. Some days, God, I felt like I was about to lose my mind, God, because I said, God is going to do it, God. I woke up saying, God is going to do it. I'm going to watch God be God. In the noonday came, God is going to do it. Before the day closed itself, God is going to do it. Woke up in the next day, God is going to do it. But the truth of the matter is, it did not feel like God was actually doing it. It felt like my situation was getting greater and greater and pressing upon me with more strength. It felt like it was just draining all the life out of me. Do you know somebody, and can you relate to what it is that I'm trying to tell you? When it seems like your situation is more powerful than God, or your circumstances is more powerful than your prayer life. But one thing God has taught me, he said, listen, these things that you're dealing with, it's not more powerful than your prayer life. You got to understand, your prayer life involves speaking words, and the words that you speak, they are spirit in their life. And because you're speaking and declaring my word, and because you're praying my word, listen, you have the ability now to create a whole brand new atmosphere. You got an ability now to change the situation around you, to change the atmosphere around you. You got to remember that when you're speaking, you're not just speaking of your own accord, but you're speaking, thus saith the Lord, or you're speaking the word of our living God. And His word has power. His word has authority. That's what you got to understand. I am speaking by unction and by the authority of the Holy Spirit of God. So that's why my situation has got to change. That's why I got to come up out of this pit. And that's why he's going to bring me up, because I am declaring, I am crying out, I am praying, I am praising God, I am worshiping to the word of the living God. I bless the name of the Most High God. The word says he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the mountain. miry clay. You got to understand, not only did he bring me up and out of the pit, but he brought me up out of that clay that was at the bottom, where this water is constantly moving, where I don't have a firm foundation, where I don't have sure footing. Have you felt like that at times, even though you're giving God praise, you felt like you didn't have a sure footing, a sure word to stand on? I know he said what he said. I know you wrote it down in the journal, but it seemed like this word is a little tricky right now based upon this particular time in my life. God, I need help right now, God. It's tricky trying to pull this word in, God. It's a little hard trying to pull this word in, God. Some words I feel like I need help with, God. Even though you're spoken about my life, God, I feel like I need somebody to help me pull in with thus saith the Lord. Have you been there where you felt like God spoke something about your life and you felt like that thing was greater than your ability to pray and cover that thing? Or you felt like, wait a minute, God, you said all that about little old me, God? Are you sure you got the right person, God? Listen, I ain't that adequate, God. I'm not that sufficient enough, God. I'm not that intelligent enough, God. I don't have that much wisdom, God. My skill set is not the best, God, but it doesn't matter because God spoke it and God chose you. Yes, he chose you. Questioning it all day long, he still chose you. Struggling with it all day long, he still chose you. Fearful sometimes, he still chose you. Dealing with deal, but he still doubt, he still chose you concerning what he's spoken concerning your life. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So the psalmist says he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of miry clay. And then what did he do? He said he set my feet, right? He set my feet. Now, this is the thing. After he set my feet, after he brought me up out of this horrible pit, right? This horrible pit, this place of noise, this darkness, right? He set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He placed my feet. He established my feet, caused my feet to be on a firm foundation where my feet was accustomed to being in mud, slosh, a foundation that was easily moved. No matter how I stand, if I stand, listen, I find myself sinking just a little bit. You got to understand, if I take a step to the right, it's the same thing. I'm sinking just a little bit. If I take a step back, I'm sinking just a little bit. If I take 10 steps forward because of this firm foundation, this foundation that's there, it's not firm, I still find myself sinking just a little bit. Oh, but God, he possibly himself to incline himself towards me to show me, listen, I'm gonna shema, listen, I want to give you my undivided attention. I want to hear you with interest. I'm interested in what you got to say, and I'm bending down towards you so I can show you that I want to hear you. And in him hearing me, listen, he has now established me based upon what it was that I was crying about. I'm crying about this pit, God. Don't get him a twisted, God. I'm crying about this horrible pit that I'm in right now, God. I don't have any sure footing, God. Listen, I don't know if the next step I take, God, if I'm going to fall flat on my face, God. I don't know if I'm going to trip. I don't know if I'm going to stumble, God. I don't know if I'm going to sink deep, God, or if I'm going to get stuck in this sloshy mud, God. But all I'm saying is, God, I'm crying out about this horrible pit, God. You got to do something, God, and you got to do something quickly now. And listen, he honored that thing. So he came and set my feet upon the rock, and then the Bible says he established my goings, right? And goings is simply talking about, in the Hebrew, he established my steps. See, have you ever felt like there were steps you were taking and you just look, I'm trying to walk, God, but I don't know which direction to walk in, God. Yeah, I'm trying to walk, but it seems like my feet are heavy, God. I feel like I'm dragging my feet based upon what you said about my life, God. I need help, God. Some days I need help, God, but because my legs are so heavy, God, they're so tired and fatigued, God, because of being in certain places for so long, or because of having to fight certain things for so long, God, I need you to help me to pick up one foot and place it in front of the other one, God. You can be in a place for so long, and it feels like, and it seems like, as well as feels like, you forgot how to walk. I know y'all not going to talk to me about that right there. Some of you just stay stagnant and place it for so long till you act like you don't even know how to walk anymore. We say, come on, it's time to move. All you do is just look around. It's not time for you to look around. It's time to get in motion. It's time to be moving. It's time to pick them up and put them down. Put one foot in front of the other and follow the leader. He established my goal. He established my steps, the Bible says, right? It says, and he had put a new song in my mouth. He put a new song. A new song. You ought to be tired of singing the same old song. Listen, and simply put, that thing you've been complaining about on the song, listen, go ahead and let that complaint or that song go. Sing another song. I don't care if you find a new complaint, but let that, we tired of hearing about that one. Sing another song. Write another song is what we're trying to get. Because the Bible said he put a new song in your mouth. It should be a new song in your mouth because he done brought you up and brought you out and he has established your step. That's why it should be a new song. I got a firm foundation now, God. I'm on a solid foundation, God. I don't feel unsure about what I'm standing upon. I'm standing on the word of the living God. He said, they put a new song in my mouth. And what he said, even praise unto our God. So what is he saying is housed or written in this new song that he put in my mouth? Praise. So the new song should be full of praise. David, he's notorious for telling us in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise, yes, his praise, right? So even though you were in this place, you're no longer in this place, as he has brought you up and brought you out, right? That's why you got a new song, and your new song should be filled with the praises of the Most High God, praises unto God. Even praise unto our God, right? And he's saying, listen, this praise that is unto God, it says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord, right? Many shall see. Listen, because to know that God is now shifting you from a lower level to a higher level, but it's also brought you out, removed you completely from where the pit was. Establish your feet on a firm foundation, then has established your steps. Many shall see it and fear, begin to reverence and honor God. Because they're going to say, nobody could have done that but God. That was God. And there is something that is happening on the inside of us. We keep telling you, God said, listen, there is something that I'm trying to do in a people. And I wish y'all would just let God be God. Allow God to be God for the very thing that he's trying to do on the inside. Come on, Christina. I had to call the woman of God. I heard her teaching one day, and her teaching was not the same. Her level of faith was not the same. She began to speak about her faith and what God was doing and what God is currently doing in their life. And you can hear a shift, not only in her faith, but you can hear a shift in the manner how she was teaching the word of God. See, that's what we're talking about. She's allowing God to do something on the inside. And guess what, Christina? It looks marvelous in the eyes of God. I wish I would go ahead and get on board like the woman of God. Allow God to be God. Watch God do what he wants to do in us as a people, not just individually, but collectively as a people. Yes, something is going to happen individually, but something is also happening collectively. God is trying to do something in a people. So he says, listen, many shall see it and fear it and shall trust in the Lord. They're going to see what he has done in your life, that they're going to trust in the Lord. Based upon watching your life, they're now about to trust in the Lord. Are you ready for that? See, you're talking about, the Bible says we are supposed to be epistles read daily of men, right? Somebody is about to read your life. Because you don't understand, this ship, a page has turned, a chapter has turned. Oh, you got to understand, you are not in a different chapter in this epistle of your life. And somebody is about to see what's being read about your life or written about your life right now. And it's about to cause them to come to a place where they're about to I'm going to trust God. I'm about to trust God. After seeing your life, somebody's about to trust God. I've been hearing about interesting things with people, even concerning new homes and things of that nature right there. And then you just saw other people follow suit who have struggled with the home buying process. But all of a sudden, they find themselves in a different season because God is up to something. And what was once hard has now become easy. As they are sitting back watching God be God, allowing God to be God, they're seeing God move and open doors for them, right? And God is blessing. And they're saying, you know what? I received the blessing, God. This time, I know what to do with the blessing. When you give it, God, I'm going to bless your name for the blessing, God. I'm going to give you the glory for the blessing, God. I'm going to turn it on the mountaintop. mountaintop, God, because it is the testimony of the Lord what you're doing in my life, but it's what you have done. It is you revealing yourself, making yourself known in my life, God. See? And that's what it is. God wants you to speak about his goodness. God wants you to testify of his greatness. God wants you to give him the glory and the honor as people see what is taking place in your life. Tell them, don't be ashamed. It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in his eyes. I bless his wonderful name for what he's doing. The Bible says what? Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Will you make God your trust? And see, a lot of times we've trusted in horses and chariots. We've trusted in other words, when we talk about, when the scripture is talking about the horses and chariots, right? We have trusted in other resources and made these other resources become the actual source. God is the source, and everything else and everyone else that he uses as a resource. And see, now the Bible says, blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust. But the one that makes God and makes it known, God is my source. Nothing can happen except God does it. Nothing can happen unless God speaks it. Nothing can happen unless God wills it, unless God has purpose it to be so. That's why I bless his name. He is my trust. He is my source. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what was unfolding in the government. I don't care what's taking place because of the pandemic. The Lord is my trust, and because he is my trust, and because he's my source. Oh, listen, what does the scripture declare? I'm blessed. You got to understand, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, all right? And when you begin to dive into this word, it talks about the happiness, right? You got to understand, this is why I got happiness, or this is why I got joy. With all of the things that are happening, you know, people dying. Listen, listen, it's very difficult to deal with some of these deaths and things of that nature right there. But at the same time, God is still being God. At the same time, God is still seated upon the throne. He is the strong controller. He is the supreme ruler. Yes, he still has all power in his hand, even though all these things are still happening. The Bible says, blessed is that man that makes the Lord his trust. And respecteth not the proud, nor turn such as turn aside to lies, right? Don't respect the proud, right? Simply put, there were some people who were full of pride, full of pride. And they give no reverence, no honor to God. It's all them. I did this. They take all the credit. Me. And some of us as believers, if we're not careful, we operate in pride. Have you ever been there? I'm guilty. But you'd be like, I know I can get a prayer through. Really? What if God decided to close his ears to you? Ooh. Hey, do you know somebody? Can you relate? When you find yourself being prideful about the spiritual thing, I can get a prayer through. Because that's my daddy. That's my father. It's not just your daddy. It's not just your father. Sometimes we position ourselves in pride based upon what we believe our relationship is with God. All I'm saying is be careful, be careful, be careful. He said, and respect not the proud. He says, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now, this is what I understand. When you're in the pit, a deep, dark, noisy pit, some days you will lie to yourself just to feel good. Some days you will lie to yourself just to get up out of bed. Now, I didn't say tell yourself the truth. Some of you look at your lie like it's the truth. Some of you believe your lie like it's the truth. But the scripture says, no, as turn aside, don't you turn to the lie. Don't turn to the lie. If God didn't tell you he was going to do, some of you have actually lied on God, talking about God said he was going to do. What I understand about God, God has no problem speaking up for himself about what he's going to do or desire or wants to do. The scripture says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works. This is someone who was just brought up out of a horrible pit, brought out of a horrible pit, He says, many, oh Lord. When I just think about the pit, you brought me out of darkness into your marvelous light. You brought me out of a deep place and brought me up. You dealt with all the noise that made me feel like I was about to lose my mind. You brought me out of this slush, this mire, this clay, and set me on a firm foundation. Not only that, God, but you established my steps. And that's not enough, God. I'm still about to brag on you, God, because not only did you do that, God, but you heard my cry, God. You shema towards me. You heard my cry, God. And it's not enough, right? That's why I got to keep on bragging on you, God. Not only that, but you postured yourself. You inclined. You bent down toward me, God. Oh, many, oh, Lord. My God, are thy wonderful work. You don't understand, God was working to posture himself to hear you. Oh, working to hear you through all of the noise. Because listen, when you're in that noisy pit, if you're not careful, your voice and your cry can get lost amongst the noise, the surrounding noise, till you can't even distinguish your own voice from all the noise around you. You done been in that place for so long that you sound like the noise that is around you. You are talking and sounding like the place that you've been in for so long. And see, God has to put in work to understand. I got to hear them. I got to separate their cry, separate their voice from the noise that they are accustomed to. Because most of you sound like the noise that you've been trenched in, surrounded by for so long. You sound like that noise. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Listen, all I'm trying to say is if you stay in a place long enough, your speech would change based upon the place that you've been in long enough. Think about it like this. Have you ever been sick for a good little while and you've been trying to believe God for healing in your body, but it seemed like, listen, it's taking such a long time, even the medicine is not working the way it's designed to work. Listen, you will start questioning God. You will start doubting God, whether or not God can heal or is he going to heal. My sister, my brother, I'm trying to get you to understand. I'm suggesting to you now, because you've been in that place for so long, you sound like the place. This place that is causing you to doubt God. This place that is causing you to question God. Your voice, your cry, your prayer. Listen, it sounds like the place. And there needs to be a separation. You don't understand. God was working to posture just to hear, listen, to give it his undivided attention, because I can't make a mistake in what I hear. I got to hear them accurately. Accurately. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works. And so you don't understand. He just performed a wonderful work in you. And he's still performing wonderful works in us as a body, a collectively as a people. Oh, it's wonder. It's going to be full of wonder. Yes, it is. It has to be, because he's a wonderful God. He's a wonder. Yes, he is. So the works of the Lord has to be wonderful. Which thou hast done. He said, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. Not only are your works wonderful, God, but I've got to say, God, what you think about us is wonderful. Have you ever even tried to imagine what God thinks about you? I know most of us run to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 29. Listen, all you got to do is just read throughout the Bible. When he says things like, my beloved, he's giving you a thought right there. You are my, listen, you're the one that I love right now. Be representing now in the grammatical sense, right? Be love right now. Listen, I love you right now. Even though you mess up, I love you right now. Even though you don't want me, I still love you right now. Even though you're a rebel, I still love you right now. Even though you're questioning, can I do it? I still love you right now. Many, oh Lord my God. And this is where we take the title of a text, Jehovah Elohim, right? The eternal creator. And what you got to understand, God, look how awesome this God is. When it says, many, oh Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works. Again, when we dig into the works of God, right? As God being Jehovah Elohim, the eternal creator, God interacts with creation. He interacts with his creation to reveal himself to his creation, but also to interact with his creation. If that is not a wonderful work of God, the very thing that you have created, you want to interact with it. I made you to talk to me. I want to interact in conversation with you. Yes, that's why I'm saying, come on, tell me your fears. Tell me your doubts. Tell me your hurts and pains. Tell me about your disappointments. Tell me the things that are troubling you. I made you because I want to interact with you. I made you because I want to reveal myself to you. This is a wonderful work of God. Jehovah Elohim, the eternal creator, right? Let's take it a step further. If he's the eternal creator, right? If we focus on the word creator, simply put, the eternal creator created a way to bring David up and then out. Oh, you got to understand. What is that struggle that you're dealing with? What is that thing that has you so burdened down? That thing that makes you feel like, listen, I don't know if I'm coming up out of this. Listen, he is the eternal creator. Listen, it's in his nature to create a way, to make a way where it seems to be no way. That's who he is. I can make a way. Listen, even when all the doors are closed, listen, I can create a brand new door. I ain't got to open one of them doors that's locked in. I can create a brand new door. Do you hear what I'm trying to tell? Because I am the eternal creator. It is in my nature to create. I wish I had somebody right there. You don't even understand. He just created, when he took you out of a place and took you to a higher level, listen, he just created a way to shift you upward than outwards. Only the eternal creator, Jehovah Elohim, could do this. You are to bless that wonderful name, Jehovah Elohim, the eternal creator. He has the power. He has the authority to create a way for you. Many Jehovah Elohim, the eternal creator, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. All the things that you have created, the doors that you have opened. Wonderful. Not just your works, but your thoughts. I like it when God says, okay, listen, devil, you think you're about to stop me? Even when you try to stop God, I'm not even talking about the devil anymore. When you want to stop God because you don't want to keep moving and keep walking in the things of God, I like it when God would just sit back and let me think about this thing right here. They think they about to trap me up, but I'm about to show them I am Jehovah Elohim. I'm about to create a way for them to run back into me. Hey, you don't understand. They think they're going to get away from me, but I'm about to create a situation that's going to cause them to come right back to me. I'm about to create a situation that's going to cause them to fall right back on their knees. I'm going to create a situation that's going to make them have to cry right back out to me. Say my name all over again. Trust in me all over again. Believe me all over again. Worship the spirit and truth all over again. Give me the highest praise all over again. I'm going to set it up so. Listen, why can God do that? Because y'all, if we rewind back to one of those other sermons, we told you because he's an intentional God. He's being intentional when he set it up so to listen, to recapture your attention, listen, to recapture your heart. He's going to create a way to do it. He says, and not false which are to us were. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee, right? They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. When you think about this, we can't even, your thoughts, God, we can't even put no order to your thoughts, God. We can't even arrange your thoughts, God. We can't even process your thoughts. What is this you're thinking? We can't even, listen, God, our minds, God, are too finite, God, to even try to handle your thought, God. And we understand when you tell us in the book of Isaiah that your thoughts are not our thoughts and neither your ways our way. You're not insulting us, but you're encouraging us to come up higher, to see things from a God perspective. Listen, but even when we come up higher, God, we still can't see it the way you see it, God. We still can't understand it the way you understand it, God. We can't begin to arrange or try to even order your thoughts. Your thoughts are so much greater than us. And if we really get technical, God, we are just a manifested thought of yours. And when I see how wonderful I am, God, since I was created in your mind and then you spoke us out, God, because a thought is nothing more than an unspoken word. But once the word is spoken out, listen, it's a thought that has not been spoken. And when I see all of the wonder, when I look at myself, God, being created in your image, God, how wonderful are your thoughts? I can't begin to even try to put an order or try to arrange it or even try to understand your thoughts. He said, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. In other words, if I try to speak of your thoughts, plural, we can take the S off, make it singular. If I try to speak of one thought, listen, look at it like this. Has God ever told you anything concerning your life about what he was going to do concerning your life? And all that was the thought that God spoke to you, right? And most of us are still trying to wrap our mind around the thought that God spoke concerning us. Because when you look at what he said in relation to who you are, it doesn't make any sense. How could you do this with me? It just doesn't make any sense, God. It doesn't supposed to happen like that for me, God. Like, so what you're saying, God, is just, it's hard to understand. It's so difficult to understand. It's difficult to process, God. I can't, some days I have to just stop trying to even think about what God said. The pressure of trying to understand what he said. It's so much. So David is saying, if I were declared speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. If I try to speak about one thought, God, I'm inadequate to even speak of one thought of God properly. That it would bring him glory and honor. I don't have the capacity, neither do I have the ability to speak of one of God's thoughts sufficiently and do it justice. Think about it. That's why at times you hear apostles and you hear some of these ones that are speaking, we say stuff like, Lord, I wish I could preach it how he gave it to me. Because we're struggling to try to speak and declare to you something he's spoken or revealed to us. And to try to come and relay a message to you in the manner that God revealed it to us or spoke it to us. Listen, we just don't do it justice. We try our best. We're talking about a holy God. We're talking about a God that's full of wonder, full of majesty, full of splendor. We're talking about a God that is the only wise God, all-knowing God. This is the God that we're speaking about. And when you're trying to really speak this thought, it's just almost impossible to even speak about. But I want to encourage you. He has the ability to create a way to bring you not just up, but to bring you out. And he doesn't stop there. He establishes your feet, a firm foundation, then establishes your steps. And he's positioned or postured himself to hear you. That's an amazing God. So I pray that this word was encouraging you on today as we have talked about Jehovah Elohim. He is the eternal creator. He will always be creator. So as long as God is creator, there's always, you hear what I say? As long as God is always creator, there's always space and grace for God to create a way for you. Amen.